Let me again bid welcome to you and express appreciation for your being here. Again, we say it so often, but say it sincerely. It's just good to get together. There is an outline of the lesson this morning in your bulletin if you'd like to follow along to make the presentation. Titled the lesson, Lawful But Not Expedient. Or the question may be asked in a different way, should I or not? Put the definitions or the words that highlight the introduction. In 1 Corinthians 10, verse 23, all things are lawful for me, meaning those things that really are right. But not all things are expedient or helpful. He says it again, all things are lawful, but not all things edify. So there's some things that just don't help. Some things are okay, but they're not expedient. Some things are okay, but they don't edify. Then he uses the example in Luke chapter 10, verse 41, where Jesus is meeting and Mary and Martha are there, and Jesus says to her, meaning Martha, because he says, Jesus, Martha's not helping me. Martha, Martha, you're worried and troubled about many things. Yeah. Things that are okay, too. She's just doing some work in the kitchen, so to speak. But Jesus said, but one thing is needful. Mary has chosen that good part. Oh, you had a choice in the matter. Mary's chosen the good part, which will not be taken away from her. So I just put some definitions so you understand the direction we're going in this lesson. By lawful, meaning it's legal, legitimate, is permitted, allowable, it's authorized, it's not criminal, or violent, or wretched. It's none of those things. We're talking about things that are okay. Oh, but then Paul said they're not expedient. In other words, currently, may not be the best choice. Or it's just not suitable at this time. It's not practical. It's not wise to make this choice over this one. It's inadvisable. Imprudent. We don't use that word very often. It's just not, just have a better choice. So the question being asked in the lesson is, when an activity is not clear in Scripture, there's not a clear violation of this activity, how do I determine if I should proceed or not? A very practical lesson this morning. Things that are okay, but should I or not? You see, some things, as you and I know, are very clear. Thou shalt not. Well, don't do that. Yeah, that's obvious. Stay away from there. Very clear. But there's something else that might be okay. Doesn't violate Scripture. It's not criminal. Should I or not? So I need some guidelines to help me. Like what a parent would teach their children about making wise choices. We can go ask some questions. And I want to determine whether something is helpful. If it's going to edify or build up. If it's that good part, and I have a choice in the matter, I want to choose the good part. We do this in life. Think about an illustration. You're driving at night, rain slick highway, heavy fog. There's a posted speed limit. It's lawful to drive the speed limit. But should I? Rain soaked, nighttime fog? So how am I going to determine whether I should or not? Might ask myself, well, if I drive too fast, or will it put my life in danger? It's just my life. But you ask a follow-up question, will it put somebody else's life in danger? So then we drive accordingly. Hopefully. We might drive according, but you'll still see that one guy go by. We'll say, we'll pick him up on the side of the road pretty soon. I think another illustration might be, you know, there's a bowling league that I want to join. It's going to last 3 months is all. Always have great fun, get along great, good with the people. It's always enjoyable, a lot of competition, but meets on Sundays at 10:30. Wow. Nothing wrong or unlawful about bowling. But we ask ourselves, is it the best choice at the moment? So let's see. Should I go bowling with friends, have a great time, just lots and lots of fun, or attend a worship assembly and hear Brian preach? Don't answer out loud. What am I going to do? I heard a story about a man in Amsterdam, Holland, or the Netherlands. He's feeling pretty guilty about something that he'd done. Oh, it was really on his mind. So he went to talk to his preacher. And he began to tell the preacher, he said, I just feel so bad, I feel terrible, because I've sinned during World War II. I hid a refugee in my attic. Preacher thought for a moment. He said, well, I don't believe that's really wrong at all. And you know, I wouldn't feel so bad if I were you. The man said, well, but I made him agree to pay me $20 every month while he stayed. Preacher says, I admit that that wasn't the most noble thing to do, but you did it for a good cause, and I still wouldn't worry about it. The man said, oh, thank you. You don't know how much that eases my mind. He said, but I have one more question to ask. Do I have to tell him the war is over? Should I or not? So before we proceed with a questionable activity in this lesson, we're going to give you some questions to think about, you know, to ponder over, consider, you know, give it some thought. You may have an illustration in mind, but don't answer out loud. Question number one, ask yourself, well, does this lead towards sin? Kind of looking ahead, ask yourself, is this a step in the wrong direction? No, just a step. It's not a giant leap towards something horrible. Is it just a step in the wrong direction? It's not violating Scripture. It's not criminal. But then you might think, too, well, if I take one step, well, I have to take another away from God or something. Well, just a question to think about. This activity has the appearance of everything that's good at the start. But where's it heading? So, I'm wondering, are there any adverse consequences down the road? You know, some people will pray, dear God, lead me not into temptation, and then they'll go flirt with sin. Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 2, verse 22, flee youthful lust. In other words, run away from something. And then follow righteousness and faith and charity and peace with them that call upon the Lord out of a pure heart. Yeah, make the right choices. Right choices. I'm always wondering why some people want to see how far away they can get from God without leaving God. They want to know, what's the perimeter? You know, that outline. Can I get this far away from God and still be okay? I don't want to take that step because that would take me away. But just, in other words, what's the minimum requirement of me as a Christian? Now, ask yourself, does it lead towards sin? Number two is, in the same line, does it weaken me spiritually? So I'd ask myself, Did those who participate in this activity lose interest in prayer? Do those who participate lack attendance in worship? Do they decrease their Bible study when they do this? Do they lose Christian associates? Questions along that line. Is it going to weaken me spiritually? Is it going to take me away from that which edifies or builds up? It's in the introduction. Number three, is it wasteful? In other words, can I financially afford this activity? Paul said in 1 Timothy 5, verse 8, if you don't provide for your own, especially those of his own house, he's denied the faith. I don't want to do that. So I'm going to ask myself, is my habit, or whatever I want to do, going to rob my family of its needs? If I spend all of that over here, will that take away from obligations here? What about financially in our offerings on the first day of the week? Again, something may be legitimate. Okay to spend our treasure on it, but it's not the best choice if it's going to cause me not to give to God. Or if my spending on this takes away from a family need or obligation. Some people might spend a great amount on this over here and then not contribute. But not only treasure, what about time? This activity that I'm thinking about, is it going to waste my time, or is it going to be excessively time consuming? Is it going to take me away from Christian obligations or service or ministry? If I spend my time over here, what am I forsaking over here? Again, this is okay. It's not criminal. But what if it takes me away from God? Like Jesus said to Martha. Martha, it's okay to what, in a sense of what you're doing, but this is the good part. Mary has chosen the better. Choose the better. The fourth question we may ask ourselves is, will it harm my body? Paul said in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19, he says, what? Don't you know? Even Paul said, don't you know? Or know this. Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit which is in you? Do you know that? Which you have from God? You're not your own. You are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Oh. So this body has a priority. Yes, I can engage in those things that are okay and legitimate and right and community-minded, but I want to be sure that it doesn't forsake God. So we're to stay away from those vices. And we do, or we strive to do, that would shorten our life. Things that are okay except in excess. Abuse that which is okay, then it hurts us. So we don't want to take it to excess. So I put in your notes, don't go to Coney Island to participate in the hot dog eating contest. It's excessive. Last year's winner ate 51 hot dogs, 13,000 calories. But hot dogs are okay. but not excessive. So there's things that are right. But not when we take it to abuse. Number five is kind of in general, does it interfere with my friendship with God? We're careful to go to great lengths not to offend friends, those that we highly esteem, people that we admire. Jesus said in John 15, verse 14, you're my friends. You do whatsoever I've commanded you. So just with that same effort that we go through to not offend our friendship with somebody, with great effort we should strive not to offend our friend Jesus. And we do that by the choices we make, by, Jesus said, by doing what I say. Oh, because I want to stay on Jesus' side. I don't want to offend Jesus with divided loyalty. I don't want to offend my friend Jesus by giving him second place. I don't want to offend my friend Jesus with lack of commitment. Number six, I ask, will it hinder the gospel if I do this? Paul said in Romans 14, verse 16, don't let your good be evil spoken of. Yeah, so here's where something that's okay, it's right, it's legitimate, it's good, but it may not be expedient. Yeah. We may not have chosen the better part. Yeah. So I'm asking, if I do this or go there, will it hinder the gospel? If I go there or do this, will my conduct bring a criticism upon the church or the congregation if I do that? I've known non-Christians to ask Christians, why are you here? Because they know that the attendance of that Christian is out of character by being at that certain place with them. They're also probably thinking, you know, you're putting a damper on our spirits. Because we're not going to behave this way or that way with you here. So sometimes the worldly knows better than us that we shouldn't be there. So strive to live that you can recommend your religion, your Christianity. So that you can live in such a way so that it's not embarrassing or awkward to invite your associates to attend a Bible class. Or to invite your associates to attend a worship assembly. Live in such a manner that that's not going to be awkward to say, would you come to worship with me on Sunday morning? Paul said in Titus 2 verse 8, have sound speech that cannot be condemned. That he that is of the contrary part will not have an evil thing to say about you. And along with this idea of will it hinder the gospel, we ask ourselves, will it hinder my influence? I know some people say, it's my life. I can do what I want with it. I'm not hurting anybody but myself. Have you ever heard that one? But Paul said in Romans chapter 14, verse 7, no one lives to themselves and no one dies to themselves. It's not just you. If that action is not correct, or if it's going to hinder the gospel or hinder your influence, it has what you do and what you say does have an effect on somebody else. There's someone that you may not even be aware of that admires you. And if you put yourself in this awkward situation, it's not wretched, not criminal, but it's just not the right choice. Is it going to hinder your influence? None of us lives just to themselves. It's not just your life. Because there's people that care about you, whether it's family, it could be parents, it could be children, that care about you. Relatives, or those that are sitting beside you in the congregation here. So don't say, it's just my life, I'll do with it what I want to, I'm only hurting myself. No, you're not. Because it does hurt others when you don't make right choices. Your influence will last even after you die. My parents died years ago. A lot of years. But I'm still influenced by them. In fact, sometimes Christine will even tell me, "You're acting like your mom." My mom, when we'd take her out to a restaurant, she would order the cheapest thing on the menu, even if she didn't like it. I'm kind of still influenced by that. The last one is, will it place me in bad company? Who you spend your time with and how you spend your time is going to determine your attitude and your actions. Who you spend your time with and how you spend your time. It's going to determine your attitude and your actions. So the lesson is, I want to choose the better part. It's lawful, but not helpful. Choice. It's lawful, but not expedient. I can't always determine who my coworkers are, but I can determine who my close friends are. Who I associate with. I just put in your notes in closing, strive to live your life so that you have no regrets. So that you can run for public office. People will find out about you. Always at the close of a lesson, we sing a song of encouragement, song of invitation, song of exhortation. Not a member of the New Testament church. From your Bible study or from someone teaching you, you come to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You want to make Him Lord of your life. And so you decide that I'm going to turn my life around. I'm going to turn my life toward God. And I'll confess my faith before witnesses that I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And then based upon that confession, you can be baptized for remission of sins. Rise to walk in newness of life. And then from that point on, begin to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we're here to help you with that. If you're subject to that invitation, if that's your desire, if that's your resolve, just simply come to the front and let that request be known, and we can surely answer it this morning. So let's stand together and sing the song that Dennis has selected for. And if you need to respond or in a public way, please do so while we're singing this song.